Mother Earth. Thank you for all your abundant gifts. Good morning, Father Sun. Thank you for feeding all living things on Earth. Thank you, Plant Kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, Animal Kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, Great Spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello and welcome to Shaman's Keep. This is Caroline Wise King, your host, and I hope you had a wonderful holiday and didn't eat too much. But of course, how could you help yourself, right? There were so many good things. I don't know about you, but I gathered with my family and we had a lot of good food and good company and sharing of gifts and a fire in the fireplace, and it was all cozy and wonderful and it felt good. So that's what it's all about, isn't it? Sharing those good feelings with family or friends, no matter what your religion or what your belief system about Christmas, it's always good to get together with those people that we love and share those sweet times together. Well, here we are. We've passed the dreaded 12-21-12, the end of the Mayan calendar, which was somewhat reminiscent of the dreaded 2000 millennium, the Y2 scare. Remember that, the Y2K scare, that the computers were not going to work after the clock changed? Well, here we are past December 21st, and nothing much happened except that a lot of fearmongers made a lot of money with books and movies about the end of the world, and survival stores did very well too, and those people building survival shelters. Other than that, the world didn't end. There was no mass ascension of the enlightened. It's pretty much the same old world. Excuse me, my voice is a little rough because I am getting over one of those viruses that seem to be going around. So if I have to hesitate or clear my throat or something, just bear with me, okay? Now, as we approach this new age, or we are entering this new age, I do need to emphasize that planet Earth is at a crossroads. We are leaving the 26,000-year age behind us and entering another one. In the age we're leaving, we have very nearly destroyed our Earth. Do we want to bring the structures and systems that caused disregard of the planet? Do we want to bring all of that into this new age? Do we want to continue that destruction that's been happening to Earth? I don't think so. What that means is that we have to be willing to let go of some things, some ideas, some ways of doing things. If we don't, there is a high probability that mankind will become an extinct species because the planet will no longer be able to support our needs. It means we must make some new choices about how we live our lives. So, just like New Year's resolutions, we need to make some new age resolutions, and this time we really have to follow through with them. It's not like saying, well, I will lose weight this year. We really have to follow through with protecting the Earth and protecting the support team that gives us the ability to live and breathe and be fed and hydrated every day. There's a huge support team all around us, which we've pretty much disregarded. So let's think about what kind of world we want to live in. What kind of world would you be happy with? Let's take a look at the seven life principles of Huna that's taught by Serge Kahili King, the Hawaiian shaman who was on this show 2 weeks ago. These are some really good guidelines. The first principle, according to Serge, is that the world is what you think it is. Now that seems so simple, but when you realize that each one of us thinks the world is something different because we're seeing the world through the filters of how we grew up, where we grew up, the culture we were born into, the genetic memories, everything. We all see the world in a different way, and nobody sees it exactly the same. So what you think is real and truth is only your reality and your truth. Your next door neighbor or your boss or your child, they're all seeing the world from their perspective and through their own filters. So their truth and their reality is something a little different from yours, which means that nothing is written in stone, right? It is what you think it is. And we have to be willing to allow other people's ideas of what the world is, and perhaps adjust some of our own sometimes. Number two, it says there are no limits, which means anything is possible. But of course, it's possible if you know how to do it, or can invent how to do it, or have the ability and the strength to do it. But there are no limits. Everything is possible. So that's awesome. When you realize that, well, maybe you need a little more training in something, or maybe you really need to take seriously those way out thoughts you had for that invention that would make something easier or more accessible. These things are really important. And since there are no limits, why not? Okay, number three, energy flows where attention goes. What are you paying attention to? Where are you giving energy? Everything that you give energy to grows and builds in your life. So you don't want to give energy to bad things that you don't want in your life. You want to only give your energy to the beautiful, the happy, the joyous, the healthy, those things that nurture you, that make your life better. We are so prone to look at what's wrong in our lives and forget to count our blessings. But it's counting those blessings that energizes them because we're sending energy to those things. And those are what grow in our life. So that's a very important guideline. They also say that now is the moment of power. You can't do anything about the past. It's done and over with. You can't do anything about the future. It isn't here yet. The only thing you can do anything about is right now in your life, in your mind, in your emotions, in your reactions. Now is the moment of power. So instead of thinking and, we're like children with a stone they found in the yard, and they keep turning it over and over in their hand and looking at it and tasting it and smelling it and looking at it some more. And we do that with our past. We go back over memories of past times, things that didn't work or things that we miss or things that we feel bad about. We're like that child with the stone. We carry this around and we turn it over and over in our minds, and it wastes our energy. It saps us of our joy. So we have to be here now in this moment because now is the moment of power. And then some people are so focused on the future, on what they're going to do in 6 months, they're going on vacation. Next year they're seeing themselves getting that promotion. 3 years from now they hope to buy a home. And they are so focused on these goals, which goals are good to have, but you have to stay focused on now, to make now work in order to get to those goals. So if you live in the now, because now is a moment of power, you have the power to create the kind of future you want. Okay? The next one is to love is to be happy with. And we have a lot of confusion about love. We think of love as carnal love and physical love and falling in love. But we use that word for so many things. We say, I love you, to the most significant person in our lives. And we say, I love French fries. I love football. And these are very different things. But to understand that to love is to be happy with, don't you want to be happy with your world, with the world that we create for our future? I want to be happy with it. I want to feel that it's so joyous and wonderful to be alive in this wonderful, happy world that I love it. And this is something we all need to put on our priority list, that we want to plan the world around us to be something that we are happy with, so that we can be in that love vibration. The next one is that all power comes from within. And that is certainly the truth, because it's always an inside job. Nothing out there is going to make you happy. No one out there is going to make you happy. Happiness is within you. And it's only when you can go within your own heart and tap into that happiness that you really feel the joy of being alive and being connected to everything in this world, to be one with everything. The last one is powerful. It says effectiveness is the measure of truth. So if it works, is that the truth? That's one truth, apparently. But we say that the proof of any teaching is, does it work? So you want to look at what you believe in, and does it work in your life? Do the things that you have set as priorities and important things in your life, do they work for you? Do they make you happier or healthier or more joyful and at ease with life? Do they make you feel part of everything, part of a family of life forms in this beautiful garden earth? These are important things to take into account when you think about what kind of world we want to create for our new age, for the future. Remember, we are the creators of our world, and all creation begins with thought. I'll give you an example. Before Walt Disney lived and imagined a fantasy world, no such place as Disneyland had ever been thought of. But he sat in his garage where he started his animation business, and he dreamed a world of beauty and joy. His dream became so real to him that he was able to create it in the physical world. All creation begins in our own minds. We are creators with the power to create a healthy, happy, harmonious world. We, that's you and I, can focus our attention, thereby sending energy to that dream, and begin to envision the world we want, and to dream of ways and means of making it a reality. We can start with our priorities, the things that support life on Earth. And I want to read an excerpt from a book called How to Avoid the Extinction of Man. And this is very important. It says there are three things that sustain life on planet Earth: oxygen, water, and sunlight. I list them in their order of importance, determined on how long we can live without each one. Oxygen is number one because just 4 or 5 minutes without oxygen can cause severe brain damage and death. Something our bodies cannot live without for more than a few minutes rates as top priority in my book. But we have taken oxygen for granted. We tend to refer to it as the most abundant element in our world, probably because most of those rocks up on the mountains are made up of oxygen in its solid form. Rocks are a little hard to inhale, though, so we generally think of oxygen only in the air that we breathe. One of the most important basic laws of the universe is that we must have sufficient oxygen to breathe in order for our bodies to function properly and for us to be alive and conscious. Many functions in our bodies are impaired by depleted oxygen. Our digestive tract fails to assimilate foods or to eliminate waste properly. Our blood cells and our immune systems fail us. So with oxygen being so critical to our existence, it would seem that we would honor those beings who produce this marvelous life-giving power for us, that we should honor, respect, and revere the plant world. Our ancestors did in ancient times. There were sacred groves, temple groves, and celebrations to trees. The Celts assigned a tree to every week of the year. And much like our modern-day astrology, the tree governing your birth week foretold your personality and inner strengths and weaknesses. Nordic mythology claims that God created man and woman from two trees, the ash and the elm, and named them Asha and Elma. But here we are in the 21st century already, and we are so smart that we've forgotten what we know. Trees give us oxygen. Trees give us the breath of life. The second basic law is that we cannot live without water. Our bodies are made up of 70% water. Water and oxygen together create the battery that runs our electrical system. We can only live for 3 or 4 days without water. So you would think that something so vital to our lives and survival would be honored and respected and revered. But we have used rivers, lakes, and oceans as great waste disposals and turned much of the waters of the world into sewers that are unsafe to drink from. Even the fish living in those waters are not safe to eat. Okay, are you with me so far? We can only live a few minutes without oxygen. We can only live a few days without water. Now we come to the third and equally important part of our life support system, the sun. Let me ask you a question. What is it that feeds and nourishes our bodies? You're probably thinking, oh, bread, eggs, milk, meat, vegetables, fruit, nuts. And you're probably going to laugh thinking that this is a really dumb question. But it isn't. You see, we've forgotten what feeds us. It isn't any of the things you mentioned. It's sunlight. The sun feeds everything on this planet. The ancients knew this, and many cultures worshiped the sun. They recognized it as a great life-giving power. Today we hear a lot about the dangers of too much sun, premature wrinkles, skin cancer, and we've developed all sorts of items, sunglasses, sunscreens, window film, etc., to block out certain ultraviolet rays. We've come to believe somehow that the sun is our enemy, and we've totally forgotten what feeds us. I guess it's easy for us to forget as we're driving through McDonald's for a burger, fries, and a Coke. We just forget that our bodies can't process and digest sunlight. We never think about it, right? Well, it's the truth. So we have to get our sunlight secondhand from those things that can process sunlight, namely plants, and thirdhand from those animals that feed on the plants. Plants, through the process of photosynthesis, take in sunlight and carbon dioxide and water and turn them into organic matter that we can consume and digest. So every time we eat a meal, we are actually eating sunlight. The sun is our source of nourishment and warmth. Without food, we can only live a few weeks. Without the warmth of the sun, all life would freeze to death in a very short time. These three, oxygen, water, and the sun, all work together to create a life support system for us. And the laws governing the big three constitute the laws of the universe. Well, those are certainly priorities in my book. We can't live without those things, so it has to be on our list that we protect and honor and praise those things that support our life here. After the after dealing with these priorities, then we can think about things like New Year's resolutions, or in this case, New Age resolutions. I thought about that a good bit. In fact, I put it on my blog on shamanskeep.com. If you want to go back and read some of it. But here are my resolutions for the coming age. I will personally thank each member of the support team that keeps me living, breathing, fed, and hydrated every day. In other words, Mother Earth, Father Sun, water, air, the plant people, the animal people, the stone and mineral people, and the great spirit that moves in all things. It means that I will take the time every day when I get up to thank all of these things. Now, I know that you probably give thanks depending on your belief system, what you were taught or what church you go to or whatever, to give thanks to God for everything. And it's wonderful to give thanks to God for everything. But it's sort of like if you... like your own biological father, if you said to your father every day, Father, thank you for choosing such a wonderful lady to be my mother. Thank you that she cooks such good food and that she takes such good care of me when I'm sick and that she's always there to help me. Suppose we just said that to our father every day, but we never said a word to mother. We just kind of took her for granted. How do you think that would work out? How would that make her feel? Well, it's pretty much the same thing. It's good to give thanks to God for everything that was created, but we now also need to say a personal thank you to Mother Earth and to Father Sun and to the spirit of water and to the air and the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom. And, of course, the Great Spirit, which moves in all things, that creates this oneness that we know that we're part of. Okay, that was my first one. Number two, I will honor and respect the rites of Mitake Oyasan, all my relations, the two-leggeds, the four-leggeds, the no-leggeds, and the winged ones, all creatures, great and small, that share this earth garden with me. It's very important to remember and respect and honor all life that is around us. It is the Great Spirit in motion. Everything that is alive is part of the Great Spirit. Number three, I will do all in my power to protect the trees from deforestation, to protect food plants from genetic altering that mates them with an unnatural partner like Roundup, to protect animals from the cruel and inhumane practices of factory farms, and to protect the waters of the world from further pollution. And this is not an easy thing to do because so much of the business of the world and the profit-making of corporations is tied up in all of these things. But that brings us to my next resolution. I will not invest in any company that causes damage to Mother Earth or to our rivers, lakes, and oceans. You see, money is the bottom line for them. So if we do not And when I say invest, it also means buying their products, using their products, or buying their stock. It means that we have to look carefully at who is supporting Mother Earth and who is not. It was a revelation to me when I saw the companies that had spent millions of dollars to defeat Proposition 37 in California to stop them from putting the GMO label on genetically altered foods. I was shocked. Many of those companies were organic, and they were companies that vegans depend on for their veggie burgers and things like that. But when I looked at that list, I said, okay, I will not buy these products anymore. I will not buy products from any company that is causing damage to the earth or the plant kingdom or the animal kingdom. So it really is a weeding out process. Okay. And sometimes we have to weed our garden. Next, I will reuse and recycle and live in as green a way as possible to help the earth begin to regain its balance. And I know it's a hassle doing the recycling and all, but it is important that we stop filling the landfills with more stuff, more junk that doesn't dissolve back into the earth, doesn't go away. So we have to really begin to look at how we use things and live in a better way than we've been doing. And of course, the last one is that I will walk upon Mother Earth with awareness and in a good way, filled with joy for the gift of life on this beautiful planet. And life is a gift, you know. We are here to enjoy the beauty and the joy of being alive. Now, it's interesting, you know, we've seen all the gatherings about the environment and the ecology all around the world, and who's participated, what countries have not participated, and even those that have participated, have they been able to bring about the changes that they were hoping to bring about? We have a new player on the scene that is just it just is really awesome. I'm talking about Bolivia. Are you aware that in 2011, Bolivia began passing and creating laws giving equal rights to Mother Earth, to trees, bugs, ecosystems, because the Andean worldview places the environment and the earth deity, Pachamama, at the center of all life. Pachamama means, in English, it means Mother Earth. Humans are considered equal to all other entities, but just, you know, we are just part of all the life forms here on Mother Earth. Okay? It's really interesting because their foreign minister said that respect for Pachamama is vital to preserving or preventing climate change. He said, our grandparents taught us that we belong to a big family of plants and animals. We believe that everything in the planet forms part of that big family. What has prompted their move? Well, they are beginning to really see the effects of global warming. Rising temperatures in Bolivia threaten to turn that country into a desert sometime over the next century. Glaciers below 5,000 feet are expected to disappear within the next 20 years. Extreme weather conditions, including more frequent floods, droughts, frost, and mudslides, has brought home the truth that unless humans take into account the rights of Pachamama, Mother Earth, We will all suffer and the earth will die. So far, the oil companies and development companies have refused to look beyond their bottom line, profits, of course. It's all about money. And enforcing respect for Pachamama's rights has been difficult. Bolivia is leading the way, though. They are actually talking about it on the world stage, to the UN and to other countries. We have to make changes, otherwise the earth is dying and the heat is going to keep increasing. And of course, we all know that a lot of that has to do with the trees, because the trees help create a temperate climate. The reason is because trees take in heat and from the sun, and they hold it and process it, and then they release heat slowly as moist, oxygenated air. Bare earth, bare concrete, parking lots and buildings cannot hold the heat. They absorb it quickly and they release it quickly, which is why in the desert, it's very hot during the daytime when the sun is shining, but the minute the sun goes down, the temperature drops drastically. And that heat, as it moves around the planet, is actually what causes the warm fronts, and you hear your weather man talking about warm fronts and cold fronts and how when they come together, storms and tornadoes happen. The storms and tornadoes happen because of the difference in the temperature. The more extreme the difference between the warm front, say it's very hot, and the cold front, which maybe is very cold, that the extremity of the difference there is what spawns things like tornadoes and hurricanes. And so this is why we need the forest. Not only do they give us oxygen and shade and support many other life forms beside ours, but they also create a temperate climate, which the earth is rapidly losing. Well, the thing is, even though Bolivia is leading the way and we all know what we need to do, scientists know what we need to do, that we need to have mass planting programs of trees all over the earth, and we have to stop deforestation. But of course, they say, well, to plant all those trees would take up too much land, and we need that land for more housing developments and for more businesses and more parking lots. And will any of that matter if we don't have enough oxygen to breathe, or if there's so much carbon dioxide in the air that the earth is overheated and we can't live on it anymore because it's so hot? These are not simple things, but they are the truth, and they are things that we have to take into account for our future on this planet in this new age. What will it take for the money machines to stop doing what they're doing, to stop the destructive actions? Well, I tell you, it will take you and me. And as many of the 7 billion of us that are on the planet to speak out, each one of us should have a voice in this. Mother Earth is our home, and all the life forms are our family. We have the power to create with our minds. So we need to begin to concentrate on what we are creating for our future. I want to share a little bit more from this book, How to Avoid the Extinction of Man, because there is a beautiful future portrayed in it or envisioned in it. And I would like you to take part in helping us create this future, starting within our minds, seeing it, and then taking the physical steps to create it. It says, I see a future of rich, verdant forest, lush, overflowing gardens, rooftops of downtown buildings turned into garden centers and flourishing atriums. Every area not used for living space filled with trees, vegetables, flowers, and plants of all kinds. I see a future in which Mataki Oyasan, or all my relations, is an acknowledged way of life, where all life is honored, and all life, the human people and the tree people and the rock people and the animal people, are one family, helping and supporting each other to make this a wonderful world. This is a possible future we can take part in making a reality. What unique gifts can we each bring to this heavenly home we call Earth? Each one of us right now, no matter what our age, can be the hope of the world. This is a call to arms, not to destroy, but to plant and to rebuild. It is time to take part in the renewal of Mother Earth. Believe me, the plant kingdom will cooperate. Mother Earth is lavishly abundant. In fact, the phrase food shortage should not even be in our vocabulary. Earth is capable of feeding abundantly all her many children. This is a fact of life that we tend to ignore to hide our guilt. The only reason there is starvation in the world is because we withhold food from those who cannot pay the price. Governments pay farmers subsidies to not plant more than a certain amount of food crops in order to keep the price up. Farmers have been known to burn fields, and dairies have poured out thousands of gallons of milk to keep from overloading the market, which would bring prices down. This is a world of plenty. It is only the false limitations that mankind, in its avarice, have placed on market values that creates these ugly scenarios of world hunger and fears about overpopulation. If we are to enter a new age and a new world on a new course, then we must graduate from being human beings to being humane, humane to each other and to all our relations. The choices we make now will create our future. Let the earth be green again. Let the air be abundant in oxygen. Let the waters flow clear and pure again. Let all life share in abundance and joy. This is my hope and my prayer for the future of our world, the future of our children and our children's children. Join me in this vision. We can make it a reality. Remember, each one of us can be the hope of the world. We need to go forth and plant and honor all those life forms that gift us with the breath of life. Let us celebrate the earth, celebrate life, celebrate all our relations. There are so many things we need to take into account with how we live our lives. And I know you're all busy. I'm busy. We all get caught up on the treadmill of working, getting to the next paycheck, making sure the bills are all covered, making sure we're handling all our duties and responsibilities and still taking time to show our loved ones how much we care. I know how busy you are, but we can't be too busy to not pay attention to our home, Mother Earth, to not pay attention to what is helping it and what is hindering it, to what is building it and to what is destroying it. At this juncture in time, as we're approaching and entering this new age, it is absolutely imperative that we begin to take a close look at every part of our lives and how we choose, because it is a choice. We all get to choose how we live our lives. We have to take into account what we may be doing, each of us, that is not supporting Mother Earth. You know, I've had several people on here that have talked to you about learning to live in harmony with nature. And this is something that at this point in time is more important than anything. Go out today, find a tree, hug it, love it, talk to it, sit down on the dirt, feel Mother Earth's energy flowing up into your body, lean back against that tree, feel the tree's energy flowing into you. Close your eyes and turn your face up to the sunshine. Breathe in the air and experience the joy of being alive and being a part of everything that exists. This is your truth. We get so caught up in what truth is, and there seem to be so many different truths. But this is your truth of being alive in this world, in this time, in this present now. And as we talked about earlier, now is the moment of power. So let's begin to make our list of resolutions. And if any of you would like to join in the conversation or add what you think would be important on that list of resolutions, please call me. We are live on the air. The number is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. I would love to hear your ideas and have your input. We can get a conversation going. The more people that want to talk about this and think about this and put in their 2 cents worth, the better. So don't hesitate. Call me and let's hear what you have to say. Moving on, I'm going to begin to talk about how you can join with Mother Nature, not just by going out today and sitting with a tree, but how you can learn to live in a more comfortable way with Mother Nature. I know a lot of you are fearful of going out in the woods. You're afraid you'll get lost, or you're afraid that a snake will bite you, or something will happen to you. You don't trust nature, and you think it's dirty, and you're afraid you'll catch something, or something will poison you, or something will happen to you. But we are part of nature. Our bodies are part of nature. We are part of the animal kingdom, you know. So in order for people to become more comfortable with it, there are teachers out there and places you can go to learn how to live in harmony with nature, and for nature to be your friend instead of something that you fear and think of as a possible enemy. There is Ravensway School down in the Sky Islands in southern Arizona. They teach, it's called survival classes, but it's not the survival kind of class where you're going to go out with a knife and be left in the middle of nowhere and be forced to conquer nature and overcome obstacles and survive. Not that kind of survival. Who wants to survive that way? We want to survive in a good way, in a happy way, in a joyful way with a friendly nature that supports us and loves us. Okay, so Ravensway School teaches you how to make tools from things you find out in the forest, how to know what direction you're going in, how to make fire, because there are certain things. I attended the Tracker School, Tom Brown Jr.'s Tracker School, and I learned his way of survival. And it's very empowering to know how to make fire. To create fire without matches and a lighter. I came home and, of course, I was so proud of my bow drill, and I was showing it to my teenage son, and he looked at it and said, when I got all finished with my description and how I made it and how it works and isn't this wonderful, he said, well, Mom, I usually just carry a lighter with me when I go out hiking. And and I said, well, that's great, as long as the lighter lasts. But wouldn't you feel more comfortable if you knew how to make fire from nothing, but you know, a piece of wood, and how to make rope from fibers in the plants around you so that you can make a bow drill and create fire anytime you want to without means of a lighter or a match or any man-made thing. It's very empowering. And to know how to find water or how to make water if you need to, how to make things that you need to use, how to make a shelter, how to build shelters, how to know how to position that shelter so that the wind or the snow or whatever element is in that area, so you're protected, because the whole idea of a shelter is to protect you. Okay, there are a lot of little details about these things, but if you know how to do all these things, would you ever be afraid of being out in nature again? It's very empowering. So I would advise any of you to take a class at Ravensway School or with Tom Brown Jr.'s Tracker School and learn some of these things. I believe there are a lot of spin-offs from Tom's classes, other people that have taken his classes and that teach these things in their areas in different states. So check around, find out where you can learn to be comfortable out in nature and to be in harmony with nature and to learn how to be aware of what's around you and know how to use the things that are out there, because everything that you need is out there if you just know how to use it or what to do with it. You know, it's very important that we return to our primordial beginnings. That feeling that you get last week when Wobbin Wynn was on the show with me, we talked about the joy of sitting around a campfire at night and just sitting there and watching the flames and the coals turning, changing color, and feeling the camaraderie of being with a group that you feel comfortable with. It's a wonderful feeling. It's something you don't get sitting in front of the television or going out to a show or sitting in a restaurant. It's something that, and I don't know if it's a primordial instinct that's a cellular memory or genetic coding or what, but these things are what make our heart fill up and swell up with love and joy. And we begin to see the people around us in a good way as friends and family. And we begin to see nature as part of our lives. So look up Ravensway School, Tom Brown Jr.'s Tracker School, and any of those kind of schools that may be in your area. Take the classes. We've come so far away from nature that we don't remember how to live in harmony with it. We don't remember how to recognize plants. There are healing plants all through the woods, plants that will help relieve a headache, plants that will help draw poison out from a bee sting, plants that will help all sorts of ailments, but we don't remember them anymore. We just look around and we see everything that is not like our manicured lawn and flowers. We see it all as weeds, just weeds growing up everywhere. And so many of those so-called weeds are so valuable. They have so many gifts to give us. We need to remember those things. And I think this entering this new age is a time for remembering, for returning to our oneness with Mother Nature and with all our family on Earth. And so I wish you a great future. I want to end this program with the Great Spirit prayer. O Great Spirit, whose voice in the wind I hear, before you I come, one of your many children. Make me walk in beauty. Make my eyes to see all that you have made, my ears to hear your voice. Teach me the wisdom you have hidden in every rock and leaf. Make me wise so that I will know all that you have taught my people. Give me strength not to be superior to my brothers and sisters, but give me strength to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Prepare me to stand before you with clear and straight eyes, and when life fades as the setting sun, prepare me to stand before you without shame. Bless you. Have a wonderful week coming up. Next week, the ambassador for the 13 grandmothers, her name is Jyoti, will be joining me on the show. And she has so much wisdom to share from the 13 grandmothers. So bless you. May the sun kiss your face. May the waters bless your body. And may all nature sing in your presence.